In a world full of distractions, there is one big question on every dog owner's lips.
How do I become more than just the person holding the other end of the leash?
We all get dogs with a dream in mind, a vision of the future. And if right now your everyday reality isn't quite that picture you had in mind, you are in the right place.
It really doesn't have to be this way.
You absolutely can and will be more to your dog than just the person who gets in between them and the world.
The key is you need to be more sexy.
More sexy than the neighbourhood cats.
More sexy than the jogger in the park.
More sexy than that half-eaten hamburger they just found on the floor.
And yes, even more sexy than the dog across the road.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Lauren.
Together we're Absolute Dogs.
And you're listening to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast.
And welcome to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast, the podcast that teaches you how to transform your dog owning struggles. And today's episode is definitely talking about one of those struggles that students, dog owners often have.
It causes pain, it causes strain, and actually can be just a big muddy old mess.
Yep.
Now, we are talking about something that I would say is a bit of a relationship breaker, a deal breaker for many, many dog owners all over the world. That is jumping up.
Yeah. And jumping up is so, so common. And yet it's one of those struggles that often you find yourself in a conflict with your dog. You find yourself almost getting frustrated. You find that, you know, they sometimes will do it more when you're maybe using the wrong method. And it's something that can be really a big relationship withdrawal.
And I think when we say relationship withdrawal, I mean, it can actually be a lifetime worth of being upset if your dog does it and it makes you feel uncomfortable anyway. Yeah. And most of the time, if a dog learns something and learns it well, they will keep doing it.
Yeah.
Right. So this is something we want to interrupt right now. Now, do we have some good news for you?
Because it is absolutely possible to transform. And in fact, we've created a special resource for each and every one of you. It's a playbook of games and strategies and the approach to transforming your dog's jumping up to actually a dog that is cool, calm and collected and not jumping
now,
up.
Now, some of you guys might be thinking, this is not possible. This is not something that is something that is achievable for me and my dog. We've seen it time and time again. Mm. Dog owners all over the world, our own dogs, other people's dogs, there is absolutely way, and there is a way through games in a fun way.
And that's the thing, you know, there's quite a serious side to jumping up. Like some behavior consults that I see, they are just about jumping up, and it's because the dog is maybe now no longer 5 kilos, they're like 75 kilos and they have injured somebody. And I've even had it where someone has broken a bone because the 75 kilo dog has landed on them and they have, you know, taken a tumble. And so it's actually something
you're going to want to transform,
whether it be for your dog's relationship or actually because this is going to safeguard your dog.
And I remember teaching a student a good while ago with a little dog called Meg. And Meg was a fantastic dog, but would often have a very unpredictable jump up. And we were doing a practical session with her. And she turned around, jumped up and gave her owner a big nosebleed. And that was one of those moments where you realize. Second one, and this one always, I'll always remember this one. And this was a very, very scary day for me, where I was walking Lyra. A ginger ninja, Hungarian Vizsla, smooth head, very exuberant, very lively, very bouncy, very vocal. Now, we were walking along Exeter Quay. So any of you that know Exeter Quay, shout out to you guys. Exeter is a lovely, lovely space to be walking. Beautiful day. Guy ahead in white suit. Who chooses a white suit? I do not know. Why anyone wears a white suit? I really don't know. Why anyone wears it down a dog walker path in Exeter Quay, which is
strange
really...
Strange choice.
Strange time, strange choice. And Lyra takes a run and takes a run with this look in her eye like, I cannot wait to greet you, said man in white suit. And I was like, oh no, oh no, wasn't my dog. I had all the stories under the sun ready. She is not my dog and was not my dog. However, your life flashes before you as you see that moment. And jumping up really is that painful, right? Like whether it's you, whether it's someone else, jumping up is just not cool.
Absolutely. And so we created this special playbook for you so that you can start to implement the learning, take action on the games, play the games, and unlock the real life results. And you can get that playbook by heading to absolutedogs.me/jumping up. absolutedogs.me/jumping up.
The cool thing is about the Jumping Up playbook is that it's absolutely free. It's something that you can ripple effect all over the world, because dog owners all over the world are going to want to see this one.
Yeah.
Loads of tips, hacks, games, things that you can do practically to make this easier and to actually hopefully ripple effect this across all dog owners all over the world. Because I think the exciting thing is here, each and every time you share it, you tell someone about it, maybe share the podcast, let them know about getting on Spotify or checking it out here. But equally, it could be you're sending them the link to the ebook. Each time you do that, you're helping to educate dog owners all over the world. And I think that's really exciting, because both Tom and I are seeing more and more people day by day having great results with their dogs. And actually, it's a pleasure to walk our dogs and dogs around each other when it's such nicely behaved dogs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Jumping Up, what's the story with Jumping Up? Well, on a basic level, the dogs will gravitate to where the value is, right? And so if your dog has more value up and on you than on the floor, then we're going to be seeing that jumping up happening. And this kind of leaves a clue as to one of the strategies that you can think about when working with a dog that's jumping up. And that is actually putting some value on the floor. So when your dog is around you, dropping pieces of food on the floor and making sure that they actually hit the floor rather than your dog catching them before they hit the floor.
It's quite nice to do where the food can make a sound on the floor. So I often do this in my mum and dad's kitchen. They've got a slate floor and that slate floor has a nice like tap, tap, tap as you're doing it. So it almost gives a marker before your dog actually ever gets to eat the food. So they've had a marker, treat, marker, treat, marker, treat. So each time it kind of builds it.
Absolutely. And the other thing that you can think about is maybe certain areas that your dog will suction to and have more value for going to than jumping up. So an example being, you know, those of you who have played our boundary games and you've developed this bed that your dog gets suctioned to and stays there until released. That's so crucial for working with a dog that jumps up, and you can be strategic about where you place them. So for example, if you've got a dog who jumps up at your guests and you're wanting to, you know, work on this, well, I'd be placing a bed in an area where normally they would jump up at your guests. Instead, we're saying, right, the value's there. Here's this thing, get suctioned to it. Don't get suctioned to my guest's white suit, get suctioned to your boundary.
Suctioned and stay there because you love it.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing. Lots of people think our dogs are like somehow super glued to their boundaries. They love their boundaries. This is like a suction to the boundary. This is for them a really good deal. But both Tom and I have very cute little working cockers, and Tom's a little ketone and my dogs, they literally gravitate towards their beds. Like, it is the best space. And I would have said, as a young dog, I think I could have really struggled with a dog like Blink because she would have headbutted you 50 times over. Like, she was like ping, ping. She was like a jack-in-the-box ping pong Tigger. Like, she literally pinged everywhere, and the bed really allowed that to ground and kind of told her, instead of focusing on all the things I didn't want, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want that, stop jumping up near other people, stop headbutting me. Actually, what we focus on is the framework of what do we want. So we tried to live in do land, and do land is way much more fun.
Yeah. Now, the next tip is that we also need to be aware that what our dogs practice, they become. What they rehearse, they do more of, right? Just if you are rehearsing for a performance, your dogs are rehearsing for their performance each and every day.
One of my bad habits is going to the fridge and reaching for chocolate. Now, someone made me some chocolate yesterday and they sent it all gifts in the post. Welcome. You know what? The thing is, I was really shocked at this. I put it in the fridge and I've been really good for the last few months. I haven't been in there. Once I did it once, I'm already thinking about it now. I'm thinking about whether I should get back in that fridge to go and raid some chocolate. Now, here's the thing. The cool thing is, whether it's good or whether it's bad, that rehearsal will build behavior. And I think that's really cool to know, because actually each and every time I open that fridge and I go grab the chocolate, I build that path, right? And that channel. And that way is the way I'd like to grow some days.
The challenge is that that's just going to get more and more frequent the more your dog practices it. So we need to manage that. And that management might look like, first of all, your dog not having it. Let's say your dog's jumping up at your guests. Maybe they don't get access to your guests when they're first coming in. You wait for your guests to be anchored to the sofa with a cup of tea, and then you bring your dog into the room on lead. Then there can't be any rehearsal. rehearsal. Maybe your dog jumps up at you. Well, maybe we start to leave our dogs when they're home alone, when you're not in the house, in a specific room of the house or a crate or a puppy pen so that you can get yourself in, get yourself organized, get your food ready so that you can drop that value on the floor before you actually allow your dog access to you. That creates really, really great rehearsal, and we start to tip the balance. And you know, it's amazing what rehearsal does, in that, you know, if we just aim for our dogs to get 1% better at not jumping up every day for the next year, by the end of the year, because of the effect of compounding, they'll be 37 times better at not jumping up. 37 times. If we let things slip for 1% every day, then actually their ability to not jump up will be very close to zero when you compound that out over a year.
Do you like Thomas Fast Maths?
The cool thing is, guys, that just as, you know, you're all thinking, oh my goodness, I've let things slip for a little bit, now I'm approaching zero. No, it doesn't matter. It's never too late. Actually, you start today 1% better every day, and you're going to be in a space that's 37 times better a year from now. And the reality is that that's just 1%. With these games and strategies, you'll be aiming for 3, 5, 10% better every day, especially when you really manage your dog's rehearsal.
Okay, so next tip, and I think this one's really, really important hack, tip, trick. Watch your visitors, watch your guests, watch your family. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it sounds crazy, like watch them. You need to ensure that they're helping this growth, helping this team, helping this learning, helping to not rehearse what we don't want to rehearse. So you actually need to work with a team that that are working like that. And if for any reason, so for example, if my mum is coming around and I've got a dog loose that I really don't want to jump up, I'll put the dog away. So whether that's in another room, a crate, a gated community, a safe space, that dog will go away. Why? Because I can't trust my mum and that dog to manage what they need to manage. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay to say, I'm popping you away for a minute, and that's what we're doing instead. The big thing is, I don't want them to learn how to do that. And so just like Tom said, management is rehearsal. That's a layer of management. So I suppose it's a level of, what do I want from my guests? What do I want from my dog? What do I want from my family? How do I make that compatible? What's the sort of like action plan here in this scenario? And then when you've pre-rehearsed it, when you chat about it, you're going to feel way better than actually if you didn't have a plan. Yeah. So having a plan makes everyone feel a little bit better.
So we want you to download that playbook by heading to apps.
In fact, you want you to download that playbook.
And in order to do that, you need to go to Absolute Dogs, all one word, absolutedogs.me/jumping up. It's free. We'll send it to your inbox and you can read it, bedtime reading, but you've got to make sure you action it. And remember, the power of 1% every day is huge. If you just aim for 1%, you're going to be in a way different place to where you are today in a year's time. But the reality is, if that you aim for more than 1%, which we know how you can achieve that, then your results are really going to snowball. So guys, that was this episode of the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast. Let's turn the painful to pleasurable, and we will see you next time. And remember, stay sexy. Hey, before you go, have you taken part in the worldwide Sexier Than a Squirrel Challenge?
It's a 25-day online video program. Huge energy, amazing community, and over 6,000 people are already taking part.
The only question is, you know where you are today, where do you want to be 25 days from now? Head to absolutedogs.me/sexy.